Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to get to back to talking about Francis Chan and Lisa Chan's book, You and Me Forever. We want to encourage you to pick this up wherever books are sold. We'll have it related for you on the torch today. We've been talking time to time about this book, and we've been showing you videos. But Francis and Lisa put this book together because they wanted to share a biblical perspective about marriage and come from a different perspective that maybe a lot of people are used to hearing and seeing. And
most.
Yeah, a lot of times you talk about marriage or marriage counseling, it's about meeting each other's needs or desires. And a lot of it is me-centered. And the truth is that one person cannot fulfill every, you know, other person's desire or needs or wishes. Sorry to let the cat out the bag. It's not possible. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus, and he is the all-sufficient one. He's the one that meets all of our needs, and he's the one who we serve. We don't serve people. We serve God. And oftentimes why, and there's many reasons, but one of the reasons why marriages fail is because they turn inward, and it's all about sometimes when people can get out of it, even Christian marriages, you know, how can I, what can I get out of this thing? And how can you serve me and fit into the paradigm or the picture that I've always saw it was, or Hollywood gave me or whatever, you know, and, you and me forever. And some of the things that he says is that marriage is not going to be forever. It's not going to be forever. And it's definitely not the answer, but he talks about some of his chapters as marriage isn't that great. Pursue the perfect marriage, learn to fight well, don't waste your marriage. Is there hope for us? What's really best for the kids and the amazing race? And you know what? When if you lift marriage to a place where it becomes an idol, then it's not good. You know what I mean? It becomes a stumbling block. And the whole purpose that we can find in all of this, because when you give your life to the Lord, you know, I love what we've said for years. Don't marry a Christian. If you're single, marry a godly person. You know, today everyone says that they're a Christian. Marry someone that wants to follow Jesus, that is not interested in making Jesus their Savior, but is interested in making Jesus Savior and Lord. And the Bible warns us about not being, you know, unequally yoked. And when you have a vision to serve God, and you have a vision, the reason you're coming together is because you want this union that's coming together, that the husband's representing Christ, the wife is representing the church, the bride of Christ, that together you guys are doing your best to serve God, honor God, and to glorify him through this relationship. And then if you're going to have children, through your family. And in this book, Francis and Lisa write about that, but they've also put these videos together to kind of help you go beyond the book and to give you some visuals and to give you some stories about other couples that have decided to do that, decided to realize that their marriage wasn't about them, but how can they use their marriage to honor God? And you're going to watch some testimonies of three couples, one of which had an amazing idea for their wedding. And you're going to love that. And another family in particular that reached out to other children and said, this is what God has for us. Amazing. May we all be challenged this way to look totally outside the box and to say how we can continue to serve God and all that we do, especially those relationships that are so closest to us, marriage and family. Watch this.
When we first started talking about getting married, Nigel mentioned, what if we have a really big wedding and invite all of our neighbors?
We live in a neighborhood of 400 by 400 yards, and in that area are four 25-story high-rise buildings. And in those buildings are 4,000 people.
As we kept talking, we realized a lot of our neighbors don't have cars. A lot of our neighbors would never step foot in a church building. And realistically, the only way they could come to our wedding is if the wedding came to them.
We were driving home from church and we had just heard a great sermon on the book of James. And then on the ride home, Sharon said, we ought to really do something that matters. And I thought she was going to suggest we work at a soup kitchen or maybe do something on Saturday afternoons to help people. And instead, she introduced the idea of adoption.
We saw a picture in a newsletter of George. The ad said that he was healthy, but was born with no arms and desperately needed a loving home. And I really felt that God was speaking to me and saying, I want you to adopt this boy. I have a plan for this boy to be in your family. And I was actually afraid to even mention it to Mike because it was such a departure from anything we'd ever done.
When I was in control, I drank everything away. I drank away my marriage, I drank away my children, I drank away my relationships. My life basically caved in and crashed in around me.
Our marriage was at a bad place. I knew that I couldn't move forward with the way things were going. And I made a decision to file for divorce.
Should we go out there or out here? Let's go out here because we're going to show you the wedding site and everything. Folks don't normally have a wedding next to something like this. And it isn't always this bad, but as you can see, there's a bit of garbage strewn around today. But it really worked out well on our wedding day.
This is where we said I do. And we had all of the chairs right here and our neighbors, and you can see the buildings. And the whole neighborhood could hear our wedding, and a lot of people came down and joined the party when they heard songs and prayers in their languages.
Because we wanted to include as many people as we could in our wedding, we actually ended up deciding to have two wedding ceremonies and 2 3-hour receptions in one day.
I think as we make our major life decisions about who we'll marry, what our career will be, where we'll live, how we'll spend our time, I think we all have defaults in our life that kind of dictate or guide us in these decisions. As we were planning our wedding, there's so many cultural defaults that may not necessarily be bad or good, but they just are handed to us. And I really felt God speak to me to challenge how I would do our wedding and how we would live our lives, that our new defaults would be what would glorify God most.
To paraphrase 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, Christ, who was rich, became poor so that we, through his poverty, could become rich. And as Jesse and I were getting married, we wanted our lives to reflect this verse, to intentionally become poor in some way by moving into a high-needs neighborhood. And it has certainly enriched our lives.
Before we got married, people told us that we should maybe not live in our neighborhood for our first year of marriage, that we should take it easy and really build into our marriage. And we really felt strongly that we should stay in our neighborhood and that we should start our marriage by serving God together, because that's what we wanted our whole lives to look like. There's something powerful about seeking first God's kingdom with your spouse that makes your love go deeper and stronger than if you were just seeking first your marriage.
There you go.
We got George home and things started to go fairly well and he got healthy and happy. And I thought, okay, we've done our deal. This is our grand contribution to the kingdom. God should be very happy with us now. And I went by the computer one night and Sharon was sitting there looking at the internet and she had found James and it said boy born in India with no arms. And Sharon had the idea, why don't we make them brothers? Wouldn't that be amazing?
And serving God really takes a lot of submission, and it takes a lot of sort of repetitious, unglamorous kind of work. I think people can look at our family and see 12 vivacious kids and think, wow, this, you know, what a beautiful thing. But that involved years and years of doing the same thing over and over again. And you have to be willing to kind of make yourself nothing sometime. And then he blesses those efforts, and in the end, he makes it into something beautiful.
With Sharon and I think it's that we actually don't focus on our marriage that makes it a great one. And Satan sometimes whispers in your ear when you're tired or alone or 3 a.m, he says, your friends are going to Jamaica next week. And they're just gonna sit on the beach and stare into each other's eyes. And you don't ever get to do stuff like that. Ha ha. And you're like, what have I done to myself? And then you have other moments where you go right to the tip of the mountain and you realize it's going to have effects for eternity.
I think this adoptive mission we're on has been the best thing for our marriage, because I see people that have been married as long as us struggling to find common ground and find common interests and stay interested in each other. And I feel like we have this big God adventure that we're on together, and that's the most romantic thing you could be doing.
There's 140 million orphans around the world, and like, how can we just use our marriage to just ignore that whole worldwide problem? I don't know how you're gonna face God at the end and say, oh, you put us together and you found us and you made us, and what we decided to do with our marriage was get comfortable.
The day that Susan threw me out of the house was a day that literally saved my life. And what transpired from that night was a series of events that only God could orchestrate.
When I was working, there were Christian people around me, and they seemed like they had good relationships with their families. And that was really what I wanted.
My wife started taking our kids to a church, and I'm thinking she's sending them to a cult. And so I decided I'm going to go visit church with them. That morning, God got my attention in a really big way, and I ended up giving my life to Christ. God restored my marriage. My ex-wife and I were remarried. We became best friends. But something important changed. Our marriage wasn't just about each other and our children and our home and our dreams, but it also included helping other people in any way that we could. That's where our heart for missions really started. And that's how Crisis Aid was born.
Right now we're in East Africa. This is little Thomas Ginn. He's 40 years old. And as you can see, he's severely malnourished.
Crisis Aid is now building a children's clinic in an area that has no doctor. We're starting another building program for girls who are victims of sex trafficking. As well as looking at the United States, our inner city work, we want to expand that significantly.
We are headed to the center. Our mission is really to reach the lost. We provide packages of food that include groceries, canned goods, meat, vegetables, and bread, just depending on what's available.
I love standing back in a corner and watching her. She glows. Just to see the life of God come out of her. And you can see it in her face, in her expression. And even as she limps with her cane, there's a difference, you know? She's more beautiful to me today than the day we got married, the second time. Have we been living our own life and, you know, trying to build the good life for ourselves? We wouldn't have that experience. We would be missing that.
We know that restoration is possible, and it's exciting to see what God's going to do and how he's going to use it after all of these years, you know, because, you know, it's been a while now.
Well, I've never been busier in my entire life, and I'm supposed to be retired. We don't see any reason to slow down. But you know, when you're on a mission, when God puts this thing in your heart and you really find it, It's not work. I mean, it's a privilege. If married people want to know how to be missional, there's about 3,000 verses in the Bible that deal with poverty and injustice. Pick one and build your life around it, and you'll be in the center of God's will.
I think a common way that people view relationships and marriage is finding someone that you can spend time with, that you can do fun things with, you can have a family, you can buy a home. I just felt like marriage could have a much stronger, more powerful, more significant meaning than just someone who I could grow old with.
I think one thing about marriage is that it doubles what you individually desire. If you individually desire to settle down, then you'll doubly settle down. But if you individually desire to be on mission, then you'll doubly be able to do that. And seeking first the kingdom, doing hard things, even suffering.
God is pleased with a marriage that doesn't dwell and consume itself and get caught up in its own roots and vines, but is seeking to reach out to the world around it and have an actual lasting impact for his kingdom.
Wow. Rethinking marriage and rethinking the possibilities of maybe, just maybe, the whole marriage thing is not about
me.
Me?
Yeah.
But it's about him. It's not about me, and it's definitely not about you, right? It's not about any of us. It's about God. And there's a last little bit of this clip that we want to just share with you, because so many times people look at what they can't do. I mean, how many times have you heard that before? Like, I can't do this. I don't have the money. I don't have the intelligence. I had this home, this parents. I don't have that talent. I mean, just every reason why you can't. But I want to show you a picture of a boy who said why you can. Just see this. Get a picture of this. Watch this. For those listening on the radio, he's actually playing the guitar with his feet, with his toes.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful. Listen, God's blessed you with so many opportunities to serve him. And you know, that's okay. You know, we want to look at this from a different perspective in terms of rethinking marriage and saying, wow. And I know this impact, you know, we're going back and forth looking at each other's eyes saying, wow, that is beautiful.
Yeah, it's like when you see this video and you really just, I mean, I've just began to read some of the pages in this book, and it's really rocking my world. I'm not married, and it's just like, but getting that biblical understanding, and it's just like, the reality and the truth of, like, listen, marriage is not forever. It's like we put all of our cards in thinking about this life of a vapor and forget the fact that, you know, I think about, Francis Chan has a way of just putting in words that really challenge you. And he's like, a lot of people think about, you know, the last 10 years of their marriage and retirement and all that. He's just like, but I'm thinking about the next, I don't know, million years or the next
200
years. And it's just like, a lot of people think I'm crazy, but that's real. And I think what is so powerful is one of the couples said, I want to look hear what he said. He says, we don't focus on a marriage. We don't focus on marriage. And that's what makes it a great one. And it's like when you have two people that come together and it's just like, we're just focused on Christ. We're just focused on Jesus. Yeah. And it's like, that's what it's supposed to be about. It's like, regardless if you're single, if, you know, through scenarios that you're divorced or you're married, your life is about glorifying God.
Yeah.
And when you get that paradigm, it's just like, listen, the glory of God is at stake in my life, and I'm going to be held responsible, and I'm going to have to give an account on how I did or did not glorify God. I'm not okay with not giving a satisfactory answer to Jesus. Like, I'm going to have to answer for that. And it's just like, I want to live my life that glorifies him.
And just staying together just to retire is not going to cut it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just reminded me of what Paul said. He says, if you are married, live like you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, these people are living that out, literally.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that cool? Because you look at that and you say, okay, that's the greater purpose. The enemy has lied to us and make you think that marriage is about this or that, or, you know, growing old with someone and all these, you know, whatevers. But the truth of the matter is that you have the opportunity to live missionally, as they were saying, and then as you're raising a family up, you know, the worst thing that, could happen is for young children to think that now the parents exist to take care of their every need. Mm-hmm. And we need to be always, as parents, as leaders, to be pointing to the cross and be pointing to Jesus to understand the context of how this marriage came together, you know, why we're here on earth, what's our relationship with God and our obligation to the Lord, not at a sense of duty, but at a sense of love. Mm. And then when we have children, we're supposed to do the same thing, point them to the cross, point them to God and say, this is what our life is all about. And I see, you know, you see families that all they is, it's fun. It's like, well, listen, you know, redirect your fun into fun for God. Mm-hmm. You know, fun is being able to take care of the poor. Fun is going to the nursing home during the Christmas holidays in particularly and singing Christmas carols to the elderly, to see mm-hmm. them. I remember we took our boys there and when they were so small and to see the grandmas, you know, just go out there and want to touch the babies and pinch their skin. I just told my son, hey, you just got to take it, man. You got to take it. She hasn't seen a little boy in years. You just got to take it. And your cheeks were so red. This is the joy that we have to live for a greater purpose beyond ourselves. It doesn't satisfy. It's a lie. Our joy comes when we're focusing all of our attention and our relationships on how we can love people. And when we're married and when we have family, say, listen, we can do this together. We can reach generations mm-hmm. for Jesus Christ when we make it all about Him and all about us. Maybe your challenge today, listen, cry out to God, get together, rework it out, get with your spouse and say, we've been doing this for the wrong reasons. Listen, we're going to have joy in our marriage and in our lives again when we focus all our attention on the Lord and how we can glorify Him.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.